Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, 15, and 31 through 33, and I'm going to be reading from the Message. Then the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." The whole army heard what the king commanded the three captains regarding Absalom. The army took the field to meet Israel. It turned out that the battle was joined in the forest of Ephraim. The army of Israel was beaten badly there that day by David's men, a terrific slaughter, 20,000 men. There was fighting helter-skelter all over the place. The forest claimed more lives that day than the sword. Absalom ran into David's men, but was out in front of them riding his mule when the mule ran under the branches of a huge oak tree. Absalom's head was caught in the oak, and he was left dangling between heaven and earth, the mule running right out from under him. By then, Absalom was surrounded by 10 of Joab's armor-bearers. They hacked away at him and killed him. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "Good news, my master and king. God has given us victory today over all those who rebelled against you." "But," said the king, "is the young man Absalom all right?" And the Cushite replied, "Would that all of the enemies of my master the king and all who maliciously rose against you end up like that young man." Then the king was stunned. Heartbroken, he went up to the room over the gate and wept. As he wept, he cried out, "Oh, my son Absalom, my dear, dear son Absalom, why not me rather than you, my death, and not yours? Oh, Absalom, my dear, dear son." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Last week's reading from the Jewish Testament also was from 2 Samuel, and in that reading from the 12th chapter, Nathan confronts David and in fact tells him that in the words of God that he will rise up against him in his own house. The 13th chapters through roughly the 19th chapter of 2 Samuel deal specifically with everything that can possibly go wrong in David's realm, and specifically because of his inability to mediate his rule. He spins out of control in our modern parlance. I normally deal with commentary from biblical scholars, but this biblical scholar that I'm using today, I think, is no less. But he comes at it from a unique and human, and I'd say humane, writing. It's Dr. Frederick Buechner, who's a Presbyterian and minister, and lives in Vermont and writes these lovely things. This is from Peculiar Treasures, a biblical who's who, and he literally goes through the alphabet. So in the A's, he has Absalom, and I'm going to read it in its entirety because it merits it. Absalom. Almost from the start, Absalom had a number of strikes against him. For one thing, he was much too handsome for his own good. And his special pride was a magnificent head of hair that once a year, when he had it trimmed, the trimmings alone topped the scales at 3.5 pounds. For another thing, his father, King David, was always either spoiling him rotten or reading him the Riot Act. This did not promote stability of character. He murdered his lecherous brother Amnon for fooling around with their sister Tamar. And when the old war horse Joab wouldn't help him patch things up with David afterwards, he set fire to his hayfield. All Israel found this kind of daring do irresistible, of course. And when he eventually led a revolt against his father, a lot of them joined in. On the eve of the crucial battle, David was a wreck. If he was afraid he might lose his throne, he was even more afraid that he might lose Absalom. The boy was the thorn in his flesh, but he was also the apple of his eye. And before the fighting started, he told the chiefs of staff, till they were sick of hearing it, that if Absalom fell into their clutches, they must promise to go easy on him for his father's sake. Remembering what had happened to his hayfield, old Joab kept his fingers crossed. And when he found Absalom caught in the branches of an oak tree by his beautiful hair, he ran him through without blinking an eye. When they broke the news to David, it broke his heart, just as simple as that. And he cried out in words that have echoed down the centuries ever since. "Oh, my son, Absalom, my son," he said. "Would that I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son," 2 Samuel 18:33. He meant it, of course. If he could have done the boy's dying for him, he would have done it. If he could have paid the price for the boy's betrayal of him, he would have paid it. If he could have given his own life to make the boy alive again, he would have given it. But even a king can't do things like that. As later history was to prove, it takes a god. So much of what we do in everyday life is tied to calculations. Think of it. We get up, we turn on the news, and we hear weather reports from the world over, calculated carefully. We hear the stock reports, all calculated carefully. We hear of a refinery fire in Northern California, and they calculate what it's going to cost us at the pump in the next 2 weeks. Aren't you thrilled that everybody has these calculations? But that's how we live. And this is practically how everything in sports is figured out. I'm a sports fan, don't get me wrong. I've watched as much Olympics as I could possibly justify and read as much more as I could. And these are just snapshots that I want to share with you. The beach volleyball team of Kerry Walsh Jennings and Misty May Trainer won their third consecutive gold medal. Three Olympics. To win one is pretty amazing, but to win it over three separate Olympics is amazing. And because they're old women now, what are they, 29 or 30? That's the part that probably troubles me the most, that they call these people old. What was amazing was the silver medalist lost. Now, winning a silver isn't exactly chopped liver, but Ann Ross and Jennifer Kessie, also from America, actually all from our South Bay, which is pretty amazing. They all know each other well. First thing they did after wiping a tear and hugging each other was to go and get their children out of the stands. Allison Felix from L.A. Baptist High School finally won her golds. Oscar Storrs, Bill Plaschke wrote an article on him and said that the Blade Runner's edge has nothing to do with athletics. It has everything to do with his spirit. And if you've followed this young man who lost his legs as an infant, it is about his spirit. It's not about the technical advantage he has running on blades. As he himself said, if this is such an advantage, why aren't the other runners running on blades? And then there's Usain Bolt, as in a golden bolt of lightning. They said maybe he couldn't do it, and thrice he did it. And Gabrielle Douglas, did they really call her the flying squirrel? I think she's much more pretty than that. Squirrels steal my communion bread. I don't think they're very, very lovely. That's an inside story. So, not everybody has a giddiness about the Olympics. So this is some evaluation, part of it religious lined and part of it just straight off the games. This is from David McCary of Roland Heights. I knew a David McCary growing up. I hope this isn't the same David McCary, but even if it is, God bless him. Here's what he says. Let the games end. That's how he starts it. Five ways to improve the Olympics. Reduce the amount of human interest stories and show us more heats and prelims. Reduce the amount of reaction shots of parents and coaches. Encourage the athletes not to hug so much. Think of better questions than, how did it feel to win? And here's the crowning blow. Eliminate beach volleyball. He didn't say men, so I assume he meant women's, and that would be a grave disappointment to most of the men in this room, unfortunately. We evaluate because we can. Remember that I said the theologian I read from is Presbyterian. He's just among my very favorite theologians. I have others, and some of them are Methodist, some of them are Congregationalist. Well, I read the funny papers for wonderful gospel elements. This is from Harry Bliss, whose creative cartoon is called Bliss. And it shows two women running in the park. And I'm not sure whether this is a put down to the Presbyterians or the Methodists, but here's the caption. I hear Presbyterian is the new Methodist. I'm not sure who's being put down there, but the point of this is we evaluate. That's a winner, that's a loser, that one's smart, that one's not, this one's tall, that one's short, that one's fat, that one's thin. So from that, I want to talk about church, but I want to talk about church according to the gospel of Toby Keith. How many of you know Toby Keith, the country artist? I see a couple of hands going up there. That's interesting. I don't know how old this song is. I first heard it several years ago, and I don't claim to be on the cutting edge of the music scene. The title of the song is I Love This Bar. Now, here's the thing. When I went to get the lyrics, it came up, I love Toby Keith, as in, I love this bar and grill. Apparently, he's turned the song into a food franchise, which is pretty interesting. But here's what I want you to hear. From the very first time I heard this song, when he says, I love this bar, I heard him say, I love this church. I will tell you, every church I've been a part of, even casually, I think exemplifies these lyrics. We've got winners and we've got losers. And if I was brave, I would sing this. But after the trio this morning, I just can't pull that off. We've got winners, we've got losers, chain smokers and boozers. We've got yuppies, we've got bikers, we've got thirsty hitchhikers. And the girls next door dress up like movie stars. I love this church. We've got cowboys and we've got truckers, broken-hearted fools and suckers. We've got hustlers, we've got fighters, early birds and all-nighters. And the veterans talk about their battle scars. I love this church. And here's the chorus. I love this bar. I love this church. It's my kind of place. Just walking through the front door puts a big smile on my face. It ain't too far. Come as you are. I love this church. I've seen short skirts. We've got high-techs, blue-collar boys and rednecks. We've got lovers, lots of lookers. I've seen dancing girls and hookers. And we like to drink our root beer from a mason jar. I love this church. I like my truck. I like my girlfriend. I like to take her out for dinner and a movie now and then. But I love this church. It's my kind of place. Just trolling around the dance floor puts a big smile on my face. No cover charge. Come as you are. I love this bar. We love this church. He's talking about a bar, and he's probably turned it into a multi-million dollar enterprise. But he's not talking about a bar. He's talking about doing church. Because all of the elements included in that song are what we are about. And that's what's both painful and endearing in the text this morning. David won the gold medal in sinning. He destroyed his family and nearly destroyed his nation. But what he forgot was God was his partner, and God never reneges, never abandons, is ever present and faithful as a coach, as a guide, as one who nourishes and one who nudges. And that's what makes winning and losing all the different. David, in the end, comes out heroic in this chapter and the previous reading, anything but. But time is the true test. And time ultimately belongs to God, not to us. So be it, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NohoFUMC.